Welcome to The Credit Connection with High Tech Lending's David Brown. Now, from High Tech Lending, David Brown.
Welcome to our show, The Credit Connection. I'm your host, David Brown, with High Tech Lending and American Senior Reverse Mortgage. At The Credit Connection, we want to connect you to the credit you want and deserve for your home, business, and personal use. Here we discuss all things creditworthy, such as lenders, FICO scores, interest rates, credit cards, reverse and forward mortgages. You name it, if it has to do with credit or money, we discuss all the aspects. We are a financial literacy course with different topics each week. I encourage you to ask your questions through our website, reloans.com. Hit the Contact Us tab and leave your comment or question. You can also call us at 805-686-2321. Okay, if you're considering a refinance, now might be a very good time to start the process. Most everyone I respect and have followed over the 25 years of lending are predicting rates to be lower this summer and near all-time lows. They anticipate the Fed will be more proactive versus reactive with some lower rates before the economy shows any signs of a pullback. If you want a free mortgage review specific to your current mortgage, give us a call for a strategic analysis. You may also have some debt consolidation thrown into the mix, and that's fine as well. If you're considering a reverse mortgage, this lower rate trend has been very useful as the lower rates have translated to greater principal limits, allowing you to capture more available capital. So if your reverse mortgage did not work before, as you could not generate enough capital, you may want to try it again. So much for rates and where they're expected to be before the year's out. Today's program, we're going to be
You're just doing that to make me relax.
It's easy. Dennis is good at what he does. So today's program is going to be considerably different as we learn the specifics of property management. When buying an income property, are you buying an income stream or a new job? Our guest today will give us an inside look at property management. Today in the studio, we welcome Lena Birch. Welcome, Lena, to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Glad you're here. Lena, tell us a little bit about yourself and your history in property management.
I actually started out in real estate sales way back when interest rates were 14% and they jumped down or went down gradually from there. So we were all very excited to be selling homes and people were excited to be buying them. I transitioned into property management, worked for Prudential Hunter Property Management in Solvang, which later became Plus Property Management. Mm-hmm. And I started working more in the Lompoc office, and I also helped with the management team developing a new website and adopting a new bookkeeping program. I spent a little bit of time at RPL Management. They're based in Buellton, and I've also worked at Sierra Property Management in Santa Barbara doing student housing.
Wow.
So I've had a diversity of experience.
Yeah.
I've worked with great people. I've learned a lot. And it's really, I think, helped to prepare me for my job now doing commercial leasing with Battaglia Commercial Real Estate.
Well, good, good. Do you need a license to be a property manager?
Yes and no. You can work in the field doing clerical work, but for example, to sign a lease as an agent for an owner, you need a license.
Okay.
So it's definitely...
I wouldn't need a license for my own property.
Not for your own.
Okay. Only if I do it for a fee for others.
Exactly.
And it's licensed through the Department of Real Estate?
Yes, California Department of Real Estate.
Okay. Well, what are some of the best parts of owning income property?
Well, the best part is the income, of course, and it's considered passive income. Once you have it set up properly, you shouldn't need to do much, which does tie into our topic today of why you need professional management. Some of the other advantages, of course, you're building equity. The market value will appreciate as the market appreciates. Real estate is considered recession-proof. And it's also a nice tangible asset. You can drive by and see your property. You're hopefully making an improvement to the community, the neighborhood. So there's a lot of advantages.
Okay, good. Well, and you provide that service of either bedrooms or workspace or what have you for those that don't need a complete building or transient type.
Exactly.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Good. Well, that being said, what's the worst part about owning income property?
Well, there is always the risk of the economy. It goes up and down. You have to be prepared to ride that out. There's, as with any business venture, you need a little cushion of cash, a little reserve. Sometimes there's unexpected expenses. And if an owner is not prepared for that, it can really be a nightmare. And then, of course, the main thing is poor management will cost you in the long run.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that, like I said, creates yourself a new job.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good, good. And how does this vary with, you know, residential versus commercial type properties?
The residential market is a little more regulated in favor of the tenant, which is good. But as a landlord, you have to be aware. You have to stay on top of new regulations. You have to make sure that you disclose what you're required to disclose. Notices have to be given in a timely manner. Security deposits have to be refunded within a certain time frame. And it's a lot to keep track of.
Disclosures like California can have an earthquake at any time or, you know.
That's one of them. There's Megan's Law. There's lead-based paint if a property is built before 1978.
There's all kinds of things that you would have to give to a tenant.
Yeah.
For a residence, but not necessarily for commercial.
Not so much for commercial.
Okay. All right. What are the typical fees for property management?
It varies.
How's it break down?
Yeah, it can be between maybe say 6% and 10% of the monthly rents. Sometimes there's a lease up or a placement fee.
Mm-hmm.
So you just need to talk to each agency and compare, you know, features when you're shopping for a property manager.
And I assume that single family homes or management of that would be greater or on the upper end of that scale.
Exactly.
Whereas
multifamily, multi-units, you get a little lower rate.
A little lower, and then even lower yet for some commercial properties, maybe.
Maybe.
Okay. Well, depends on who you talk to. Good, good. Well, how important are tenant relations in property management?
It's very important. You can avoid a lot of problems by setting things up correctly, managing the expectations, letting tenants know what's required and expected of them.
Well, with regards to the applications and setting it up and telling them when you do your onboarding or have them come in, so you want to make sure that they have a list of, you know, vendors, utility companies, and make that transition as smooth as possible.
That's a nice thing to do to help them to get established. You want to, when you mentioned application, you want to do a very thorough application. Mm-hmm. You want to look at their credit. You want to check their references. So much, we kind of laugh about it, but you don't want to just talk to their current landlord because they might say anything to get rid of them. So you need to talk to two landlords and get the full story.
Right, right.
With commercial, we go more with business references.
Mm-hmm.
For residential, it's more just you're looking at their credit and their landlord references, their employment. Do they have a source of income that's verifiable?
What about co-applicants? Like you said you did a lot of student housing. I assume you had parents co-sign for most of those.
A lot of times with student housing, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they don't have income. So it's on the parents. Okay. But co-applicants are important even in regular residential because if you need to give notice, you need to know who's there. And maybe you're just giving notice that the plumber's coming tomorrow, or maybe you're needing to file a legal notice and it's really important to have the names of all the residents on that notice. So every adult that's going to live there needs to fill out an application.
Okay. Every adult.
Yes.
Okay. But then you're also telling them, okay, pets are not accepted and everything else that goes with that.
Each owner has a different tolerance for pets depending on what experience they've had in the past.
Most and of them are rookies if they let you have pets.
You can say pets or no pets, but there is the situation of service animals that by law, you have to accept a service animal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing that a professional property manager is trained in those laws and how to deal with the tenant legally and still ask the right questions and help guide the situation and protect the owner as well.
Is it different with Section 8 or anything along those lines? If for tenants, is it?
It's a little bit different. And again, some people love Section 8 because you get a regular monthly check like clockwork. You don't ever have to call and say, where's my rent?
Yeah.
For their share, yeah.
Section 8, for those that don't know, it's basically a government subsidy for your rent. So if you're within a certain economic status, it may include 50% of the rent. It might be 100% of the rent, but it depends upon that person's level of income.
Right. Yeah. There is an extra layer of, what's the word I'm looking for? They come out and do an inspection.
Mm-hmm.
And in my experience, most of those inspections have been looking for the same things that we would look for anyway. Plumbing, heating, electrical, safety.
Right.
Those things need to be in working order. Health and safety. Yeah. But it's still a little uncomfortable sometimes. Oh my gosh, one more inspection.
Right, right. Well, but it's one and done, isn't it, for the most part?
For the most part.
After the property's been approved and they see the quality of it.
Yeah.
How about, are landlords doing much in the way of concessions, rental discounts, or other tenant improvements or things of that nature at this market?
I'm not seeing that, especially with residential. That's not really necessary. I see that more on the commercial side because there is more involved to get a so-called vanilla shell space to meet your needs as a commercial tenant. So there may be some free rent or an allowance for tenant improvements, that sort of thing.
And part of your tenant relations, how do you handle a rental increase or renewals or even a termination?
You put it in writing.
Put it all in writing.
You give timely notice.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And we were just talking about this. There's the state of emergency in California right now due to the fires in 2017 that was just renewed. You cannot raise the rent more than 10% in 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
It's considered gouging. So that's
Is that just in emergency declarated areas?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, which is a lot of California.
Right.
From the recent fires, but definitely here in Santa Barbara County.
Okay. You would have, is that true of a resale of a property as well, where a new owner still couldn't increase rent?
Rental rates.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's good to know for that. But it's important though, as a property manager, to keep rents at market.
Right.
And that might be another reason to have a professional, because if I've rented to somebody and they've been there for the last 3 years, I might be, slow or negligent about increasing the rents.
And if you were to try to do a big rental increase, you would offend your tenant and they would get upset and move out. And maybe you didn't want that.
That or just increase it $50 and it's not worth the move cost.
Exactly. That's the strategy, to increase it a little bit on a consistent basis so that you're still competitive in the marketplace. They're not inclined to move.
Yeah, well, they're not inclined to move.
But you're still getting close to market rent.
To move too.
Exactly.
You know, that's
because when they get a rent increase, they will look at, Craigslist and whatever and see, what's out there? How am I doing?
Right, right. That's good to know. How do you get rid of, or how do you get paid really for your income property with late paying tenants or non-paying tenants? What remedies does one have?
There again, it has to do with how you set up the lease initially. You want to make sure there's usually rent's due on the 1st. It's late after the 5th. So there is a grace period. But after that, the tenant gets a 3-day notice. There's a late payment penalty.
And explain to them what the 3-day notice is.
It's a notice.
We know what it is.
Yeah, it's a notice to pay or quit. And it's either mailed or posted on the door. And I'm not a lawyer, so I try not to go into the legalities of it.
Sure.
But it's a way to get their attention and get them to pay the rent now, or you take it to the next step legally, and eventually they couldn't be evicted if they don't pay the rent.
On that same issue, the paying rent or 3-day right, or what'd you call it?
Three-day notice?
Notice
to pay or quit. Yeah.
If you give them one of those and they owe 6 months rent.
Oh, you've waited too long. You blew it.
They can just leave though, can't they?
They should leave. By that point, you need a new tenant.
Yeah.
You should never wait that long. And that's one thing with... when you're dealing face-to-face with your tenant as an owner, I've seen that it's harder to be firm when you need to be firm. You know them personally. Maybe you like them. You feel sad for them because they just lost their job, whatever. Whereas a professional manager can kind of say, hey, I'm just doing my job. The owner hired me to manage this.
And you've heard all the sob stories.
And we've heard it all. And they're true. They're real sob stories. But, you know, hopefully you work with them to get caught up. But you deal with it head on before it gets 6 months down the line.
Right.
Because it's really hard to recover that. If there's a reason they can't pay the rent, you're most likely not going to get it, even if you do go to court.
What are some of the causes for eviction? Breach of contract, not paying on time.
Not paying on time.
Is probably typical. What's the most common?
That's the most common, is not paying your rent.
Not paying it. So it'll go 30, 60 days past?
And you really shouldn't let it go that long. You really need to nip it in the bud.
Mm-hmm.
And there again, I think that's easier to do as a third-party neutral professional.
But those terminations are mostly for pain. I mean, I've had issues with people bringing in pets, unauthorized pets,
they or can be terminated
unauthorized
for that.
Tenants who now they've packed the house with six relatives who aren't on the lease.
Other reasons. You can be a nuisance. You can play your music too loud. Of course, you'd have to be warned. You can't just kick somebody out for one party. But a continuing problem.
Parking
violence
in the wrong
against
spot.
Your neighbor. Yeah. No, parking in the that would require a warning.
Okay, and we were talking about the eviction process. So it's first is kind of a late notice or a late payment penalty.
Yes.
And then from there it goes to, you were saying, a three-day
notice. It's called a notice to pay or quit.
Uh-huh.
And it just says you have 3 days to get your rent in here or we're going legal.
Mm-hmm.
And then that
legal is known as an
unlawful detainer.
Unlawful detainer.
And that's where you get an attorney involved.
Mm-hmm. What's it cost a landlord to kick somebody out through that process?
Oh, gosh. Fortunately, I haven't had to do too many of them, but I think the last one I saw in Lompoc was maybe $1,500 or so.
$1,500 just to get somebody out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So again, you don't want to wait 6 months. If it's not going to work out, you need to.
And then even after you get them out, you still got to go small claims to collect back rent?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not worth it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes you're just
chasing
better off.
Chasing an empty bag.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got that.
Get the place cleaned up and get a better tenant.
I know that tune too well.
Again, why you need a little cash reserve to deal with life's unexpected.
Well, what tenant rights do they have to withhold rent? Why would a tenant not pay?
They have the right to withhold if the landlord neglects to make a repair that is related to the safety or habitability of the property.
Not the enjoyment of the property.
Not the enjoyment. Just because the paint is the wrong color, you cannot withhold rent.
Okay.
But if the plumbing doesn't work or there's an electrical issue.
Would they have the same requirement of notifying the landlord that they're going to withhold that rent before they do so?
First, they need to ask for the repair. It's the landlord's responsibility to make the repair. And they're supposed to be given a reasonable time, which I'm told is usually considered about 30 days is reasonable.
Oh.
And then if the landlord doesn't and you have communicated in writing and possibly, I would recommend, of course, a follow-up phone call, email, text, whatever.
Right.
Then you do have the right to repair and deduct.
And is there a limit on that dollar amount or?
There's a limit to how many times you can do it. Speaking of, there's a great reference that I've often used for details like this. It's through the California Department of Consumer Affairs, and it's a landlord-tenant handbook. You can Google it online. It's actually written for a tenant, but it's written so clear and simple and easy to follow that I find it useful as a landlord also.
Okay, good. Well, good pearl of wisdom there. What's the timing for an eviction? How long does it take? Is there a typical answer for that?
Month and a half to two, maybe more.
Is that do you have many holdovers or people that, for example, I'm not moving or I've given my 30-day notice, but I can't leave that day because my other property or the moving truck didn't work out or whatever?
If it's something amicable where they've given notice and they've paid their rent on time, we might work with them. Maybe we haven't released the property yet, or maybe the new tenant is flexible. We'll do our best to accommodate.
Yeah.
But if we've signed a lease and maybe the new tenant is not flexible, then we say, hey, you gave your notice.
Sure.
You know, you've got to go. And usually it can be worked out.
Giddy up. Okay. What types of disputes come from the deposit?
Oh, my gosh. Again, prepare in advance and manage the expectations.
Is there a time frame for the return of a deposit reconciliation of it?
21 days. The legal requirement.
And that's whether you're the property manager or the owner.
Exactly.
21 days.
Yeah, it's 21 days for everyone. And if you deduct for something, you need to show a copy of the receipt. You need to itemize the deductions and show receipts.
Including your own labor, if you're...
You can't actually deduct for your own labor.
Okay.
Might as well hire a professional to get it done right.
Assuming there's anything left in the deposit.
There usually is.
Okay.
I've seen a few where we ran out, but not too many over the years.
Okay. Do owners also have to have a trust account? I know it's required for professional property managers to have a trust account for each property.
You need to have a separate account. Yeah. You can't
as an owner, you can't automatically say, hey, yeah, I have it, but I don't have to have it in a separate account.
And it's a temptation I've seen for owners. If they try to hold the security deposit, it's tempting to spend it, and then they get in all kinds of trouble when it's time to return it.
Yeah, yeah. Or they're playing the float. They're waiting for the new tenant to pay the tenant's deposit for the next one.
Yeah, that's a gamble, not a good way to do it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what about from a property manager's perspective? Who does the maintenance or capital repairs? Is that a big deal for, is there a vendor list, or how do they go about with regards to the repairs and so forth versus maybe a single owner who doesn't have a property management company?
We try to start with the big picture and plan for major expenditures. We definitely have preferred vendors that we know they do a good job, they charge reasonable rates, they're timely, responsible, that sort of thing. So you learn over time who's good to work with and who's good at what.
A tenant turnover, what's the typical time and cost associated with that for a landlord?
It depends a lot on the market. You may have a month of vacancy, you may have a day.
With that, what if there's a tenant leaves and there's leftover property or a couch that they haven't moved? What's the responsibility to either get it back to them or throw it in the dump?
There are some legal requirements where you may actually have to store it for them for a while. So you want to avoid that at all costs.
But when you're storing it, is that 21-day running for the deposit?
You still have to, return a portion of their security deposit.
And how do you identify the value of that leftover property if it's, okay.
You're getting technical here.
Yeah, I just don't mean to run that one into the ground, but just
sounds
curiosity.
Like you've had a bad experience. I actually have had very little with that.
We all have different experiences.
Yes, isn't that the truth?
Bad or good.
Yeah.
Does a professional property manager make sense economically?
I think so.
Okay.
They will help you figure out the best improvements to make to maximize your rent without wasting money.
Okay.
There are some things an owner might want to do that are nice but not really necessary.
It's worth that 6% on a monthly basis.
Definitely. They can guide you there. They can get you the top rent.
Or they're getting
more. They can deal with emergencies in a timely manner. Plus, the fee is tax deductible.
Well, that's good to know. What's the rental outlook for you in the next 2 to 5 years?
Residential outlook is strong, stable. Commercial, we're seeing a little bit of a transition just because people are working from home more, people are shopping from home more. So the big office spaces aren't as hot as they used to be.
See all kinds of empty space.
Yeah.
The Macy's,
the big
and the
retail
Sears
stores, everybody's downscaling a little bit.
Box, yeah.
Industrial seems to be going strong. There's a lot of demand for industrial space still.
Good. And mini storage.
Mini storage. Like, oh, my gosh. Yes.
Yeah. Good. And give me a funny story or something that you've had happen either as a tenant or a landlord that you find comical.
Well, some of the things we laughed about in the office, I probably shouldn't share on the radio.
But you don't, just don't be specific, be right. General as far as names.
You know, I'd like to give you like a, just a kind of a positive, nice thing that I'm seeing that's happening recently. And this is something my boss, Steve Battaglia, is very much involved with because he's part of the Santa Barbara Rental Property Association and the California Rental Association. There's something locally called Transition House that helps families get up on their feet. Maybe they've lost a job for a while. So helps them with security deposit and mentoring, a little bit of case management, get into a home. There's also Partners in Housing Solutions. They're doing that for veterans and also families with kids. I think they're both great programs, and it's kind of nice to do something good for the community and still be managing your investment and getting a good return on your investment.
Well, good. Those are all good opportunities for people getting back on their feet. How can our listeners reach you?
Battaglia Commercial Real Estate. The number is 805-688-5333. Okay. Or our website, if you can spell Battaglia, B-A-T-T-A-G-L-I-A. And then the next two letters are R-E for real estate. So BattagliaRE.com.
Thank you very much, Lena, for joining us today and sharing with us your expertise and perspectives. Every week, we endeavor to earn your trust and provide valuable information that makes a difference to you. If you agree, please share our program with other friends and family. If you've missed one of our value-packed radio shows, we are now posting previous shows on our website, reloans.com. For questions or comments about this show or other credit connection questions, go to our website, reloans.com, click the Contact Us tab, or call us at 805-686-2321. Leave your questions, and we'll get back to you next week on next week's program or call you directly. Thank you for tuning in to The Credit Connection, where we do the work and you get the credit. I'm your host, David Brown, from High Tech Lending and American Senior Reverse Mortgage. See you next week with another interesting Credit Connection topic.
You've been listening to The Credit Connection with David Brown from High Tech Lending. For more information, contact David Brown directly at 805-686-2321. That's 805-686-2321. Or by email at dbrown@hightechlending.com. And visit David online at reloans.com. That's reloans.com. And tune in next time for High Tech Lending's David Brown and The Credit Connection here on KSMA.